The title of today's message in our series called Last Days with a Question Mark is Global Religion. And one of the things that I wanted to begin this message with is when Christ is our first love, there will be an anticipation seeking and desiring Him to return. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's like we go through times where we're thinking about His return and other times where we're just trying to get through and it's not even on the radar. But I believe this, Christ wants us to be not only looking for His return, but praying for His return. For when Jesus is our hope, then we will desire to be with Him. And I believe that there is one major conflict, or let me put it this way, barrier that keeps us from focusing in on the return of Christ is that there are a lot of mysteries that revolve around the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things in Scripture that have not been made fully clear. So sometimes when we do not understand things, we avoid them. And for some reason, God found it necessary to keep certain things hidden from us. And also, there are those that will perceive depths that we won't perceive. But we must long for His return. We must think and also pray for His return. And we must ask this of Christ: make us wise of the times that we live in. Let no deception come and blind our understanding of what You have called us to understand and know. In the last days, there will be a global religion that will be established. But what is interesting about this global religion, the groundwork for it, is being laid even as we speak, and it has been being laid throughout history. In the last days, the world will be intoxicated by a global religion. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that word intoxicated? Our minds are not fully attuned and aware. A spirit comes to numb us and to deaden us and to even captivate our hearts in believing and following after a lie. The boundaries of the church should be that which is safe, but God has even warned us about the church, that the church will be places of false teaching, and that even in the last days, when the church is raptured out of this earth, there will be a continuance of the church on this earth, but it will not be the true church, it will be the apostate church. And for some, there might not be one single attender that will be taken out for falsehood, even in the name of Christ, is dwelling in this earth. What does this global religion look like? What is one of the foundations that we see? And I think most of us have seen this bumper sticker when we've traveled around our city, right? You ever seen this bumper sticker? Coexist. And one thing, when I first saw that, I thought, you know, what is the point of associating all these different belief systems and placing Christianity right at the very end, and not even of equal measure in some of these? And when we first look at that, we think, how beautiful is that? Because we all need to what? Get along. But we know this throughout Scripture: you do not mesh that which is of the holy God with that which is unholy. There was detriment to the highest extent when man tried to merge that which is holy with that which is unholy. But in us, this world religion will try to pull on our heartstrings to make us feel that we are not being people of peace and we are not being respectful to others unless we're willing to embrace this image of coexisting. Now, I know this about God. God is he's the one who gave us free will. He's the one that left the options open for us. And in no way should we force anyone into any of these beliefs. It is a personal decision that each man and woman and child must make. But we must be guarded because this global religion will teach this: peace at any cost. Taking the beliefs that Christ has established within his word and bringing them down to this level that everybody, whatever you believe, is just okay. Let's just maintain peace at any cost. And then also, that word tolerance has a beautiful ring to it, but tolerance at any price. Meaning, if you're going to be tolerant, you have to give agreement that what the other belief is of equal value to that which is in God's word. Nothing could be further from the truth. How does a soul get saved if no truth is presented to them? And Jesus, as you know, as we go through this study, Jesus was clear-cut about loving everyone, but being truthful with all those that God places around us. The false prophet, the second beast, will mold the hearts that embrace this demonic religious spirit. See, the religious spirit, another way of defining that, is self-made righteousness. That I am okay with God because I have placed my own covering on my heart that I feel contented with. But we know this, that righteousness is not something that we can make for ourselves. But we look at this example of the covering of Adam and Eve. And at the very beginning of the fall of man was a quest to cover up their sinful condition by their own means. You remember what Adam and Eve did? When the fall occurred, they went and they found fig leaves and they sewed them together and placed a covering over their nakedness. Before they saw, they didn't even have awareness of that. But when sin came, they were aware and they made their own covering. That is what self-righteousness will do. That is what the religious spirit will do. It will make our covering by our own means in our own hands. You remember what God did? God saw their covering, and he knew it was not adequate. So here, at the very beginning of the fall of man, we see the image of the coming sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God chose animals to what? To kill and to take their skins and to make their skins a covering for Adam and Eve. Now, I'm not aware if Adam and Eve saw the death of those animals, but I think that would be appropriate. And in that, the shedding of blood that the animals paid so that there would be covering for them, it pointed us to the sacrifice that would come that would make us in right standings with God. The blood of Jesus Christ had to be poured out so that sin could be washed away. Christ had to be the sacrifice to allow us to be realigned to our Creator. So In Revelation 13:11, we see the second beast arising here and being presented to us. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. Now we saw the first beast, which is known as the Antichrist, that came forth and presented himself in the latter days. Now we see the one that is known as the false prophet appear. And here we see this image like a lamb. However, the words that flowed out of that lamb were like a dragon. So here we see this image of something that would be Christ-like, but would speak with words not of life, but with words of death. The Antichrist, when he comes, the beast, he will be a political, an economic, and a religious genius. He will know how to answer the world's troubles and problems. And for that first 3.5 years of his reign, the world will be amazed at him. And we see this, his wisdom will captivate the hearts of man. Verse 12. Speaking of the false prophet, the second beast, let's look at this. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. We talked about that last week, is that when the Antichrist comes, there will be an event that will happen to him, and many people describe it as if it was an assassination attempt where his head is wounded to a point where it would look mortal, and he will rise from that, and people will be amazed as if he rose from the dead. And as we talked about before, there is a desire in the heart of Satan to be who? He wants to be God. And in that image of God, he wants the Trinity, the triune God, to be who he is. So we see this image of the dragon in Revelation as being Satan himself. We see the beast, which represents this Messiah-like figure. And then we see the rising of the second beast, which is known as the false prophet. And if we look at these as the pseudo-trinity, we see the Father, we see the Son, and we even see the Holy Spirit. But it is all a falsehood. It is all a grand delusion. But many will embrace what Satan wants, and they will make him the god of their heart. Revelation 13:13 tells us this about the false prophet. It will perform great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of the people. There's this window that's going to be open, where satanic power has always, in this earth, when Satan was cast down, was always in action. But there will be a time where there will be more of a revealing of his power. And men are going to stand, humanity will stand, and they will see this false prophet bring fire from heaven. Will it be fire from heaven? It will not be smoke and mirrors. It will be fire from heaven. And many will be amazed and deceived, thinking that he truly is the Messiah, the one worthy to worship and trust. It is the demonic in full view. Hearts are open to the spirit of the Antichrist. Now hearts are being conditioned to be welcoming of the spirit. Now verse 12. It exercises I'm sorry, I'm going the wrong way here. Forgive me. Verse 14. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who what? Dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those, listen closely, might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Here we see this desire for idol worship. We find out in Revelation that there will be an image of the beast that will be set up in the temple that will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And at that point, when that image is set up, the height of the judgment of God is going to pour forth on this earth. But here in this example, we see in the making of this idol, there will be some type of supernatural event that will cause that image to come to life and to even speak. Another delusion to draw men in to trust in the power of the false prophet and the beast. Now, will we stand against such a power? Would you have the will to stand against the Antichrist? We see here, if we do not bow down as humanity, we will be compelled to worship him, or we will be put to death. Scripture makes it real clear. Whoever the saints are dwelling on earth at that time, it will be a time of utter devastation and persecution. But it all points to the nearing of our full deliverance. And as we said before, how common it is in the history of the church to see the cost of the saints' blood in honoring of Christ and holding on to him. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about that type of passion that arises out of the hearts that trust in Christ. Will you passionately and faithfully stand your ground against his rule? We are being conditioned now to surrender our passion and faithfulness to God. All around us, the spirit of the Antichrist exists. The spirit of the Antichrist is already raging in the earth, preparing for the coming of the beast. And we are told by Christ that that spirit has been here since his time upon this earth. A clear indication of your endurance in the last of days can be seen in how you are living right now. You know, God isn't going to, like, let us be taken without plenty of warning. God's mercy will touch us and awaken us if we're willing to listen. And even now, God is asking us to look within and to see whose imprint is resting upon our heart, whose will is leading our preferences. For in us, in this day, there can be either the dwelling of the Holy Spirit or the dwelling of our fallen nature walking in agreement with the spirit of the Antichrist. Another way of saying that, when our fallen nature walks in agreement with the demonic Satan, then we are being groomed to embrace Satan as our Lord and not God. And I believe this about Satan. He's all right with us worshiping him with a false Christ before us. He's okay with that. But I also believe this, as time draws closer to his appointment in the lake of fire, his goal of us worshiping him in raw abandonment to calling him God will be stronger and stronger and stronger, because what he wants is your knee and my knee bowed to him. And he truly wants to set himself up in God's place. And as time draws closer, the deception and the disguise will begin to be seen to fall away, and pure and pure evil will be before us. If you're not seeing that now, you're not looking close enough. You're not looking close enough. God had put in my spirit the courts of Lot. You remember Lot? Outside his doors was the vileness of evil. Yet it didn't faze him. Even offering his daughters to appease the evil in the hearts of those men that gathered. When holy came into their city, these messengers, these divisive, demonic, lustful men sought them to satisfy their evil, perverted sexual desires. And in our day, they're knocking on our door. They're knocking on the door of our heart for our acceptance and approval of what they embrace. Whose mark is upon your heart? And I'm speaking to myself. I always know that when I ask questions like that. If we tolerate evil leadership now, we are being conditioned to follow and support the beast. We must be careful on who we allow to lead us, right? We must be guarded about whose plan we follow. For when Satan leads our leaders and we follow, whose path are we walking on? Whose conditioning is forming the understanding of what is valuable to God? And in essence, as we said earlier, Satan wants to be God. So he wants his voice, authoritative voice, to ring out to us as if it's the truth, when all along it is a lie. Does the spirit of the Antichrist disturb your spirit right now? Does it? Or is it just goes over our head? And when I say it goes over our head, it goes around our heart. Why? Because our heart is not pliable to the things that God wants to mold within us. That global religion that is coming not to hearts that are pliable to God. It's coming to hearts that have been hardened by the condition that has been planted in their hearts and minds and spirits from childhood. And we see this. The mark of the beast will be engraved upon the heart of man long before it reaches his forehand or forehead. Long before I say, go ahead, it's already been established here. Long before I say I'll buy into that system, the system has been placed and programmed in my heart long before the mark of the beast comes. Whose image rests upon your heart? Now, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 1, we see an alert that God gives us. It's like almost like a sensitivity test to see, do you recognize the spirit of the Antichrist, O church? Do you see the problem and understand how it manifests? Just as we that seek the Spirit of God to dwell and live in us, we are sensitive to that reality by the signs of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If that fruit is not manifested, God makes it really clear to us, it's not my spirit that's living in you. So daily we encounter a calibration that occurs when we have the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. Can you thank God for giving us that kind of clarity? And if we are not convicted when the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit lives in us, then we are not encountering what the Spirit wants to deposit. And this is the beauty of the Holy Ghost. He's a relationship. Void of interaction, void of understanding. Void of interaction, void of knowing. Void of interaction, void of His power in our lives. So here we see chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, starting in verse 1. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. Paul writes this 2,000 years ago to prepare us, even to this day, that it's not going to be easy, O church. The spirit of the Antichrist is alive, and it is pressing forth its desire to win dominion after dominion within the hearts of men. And these are the signs in which you will see the manifestation in these last days, the intensified days of the spirit of the Antichrist. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. For people will be lovers of self. Did he foresee the fascination of us having a camera pointed on us in selfies? Did he? Did he perceive our desire to have likes and to have followers? Did he? For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and then listen to this real close, unholy. Where's the Holy Spirit in this? Where's the Holy Spirit in selfishness, in a fascination with promoting self, the love of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy? Where's the Holy Spirit in that? As you would say, nowhere to be found. Verse 3, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. Where's the Holy Spirit in that? Let's go back. Where is the Holy Spirit in heartlessness? Where is the Holy Spirit in the unappeasable, the never satisfied, the never happy, the always complaining? Nothing is ever enough. The appetite that is never satisfied. Slanderous, where lies don't matter anymore. Elevating powerful people into places that just lied and it doesn't matter. At least people used to fake it a little bit. Now it's bold face without self-control. Brutal, not loving good. Where's the Holy Spirit in that? Because it's the spirit of the Antichrist that is intensifying in the days, drawing close for the face to be revealed in the beast and in the false prophet. And those days are upon us. And the thing that amazes me is how quickly time will wind down. You see the seven-year tribulation, first 3.5 years of prosperity under the leadership of evil, because he will be a genius, political, economic, and even religious. He knows how to work his will through false religion. And then the last 3.5 years of the wrath of God being poured out upon man like never seen before. 7 years. To wrap it up, how quickly has time impacted our lives in this past 1.5 years? How much has changed in such a short period of time? Let that be a reminder of how near we are. Do not rest in the thought of it being at a distance. Because we know this, these are the hearkening fruit of darkness that seeks to make its home in us. And when we are at a place of unawareness, a place of numbness, these are the things that will master our heart. And then verse 4 tells us this, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Treacherous, it doesn't matter what I do to someone because it's what I want to do to them. Reckless, living life as if there are no boundaries, going out on the edge and just jumping off without thought of the consequence. Swollen with conceit, so filled with themselves, they cannot see the pride that has blinded them and distorted them. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Where's the Holy Spirit? In this, it's the spirit of the Antichrist. Verse 5. Having an appearance of godliness. And let's read this together. But denying its power, avoid such people. You want a definition of the apostate church, the church that will remain after the rapture, the church that is alive and doing, I hate using the word well, but it's alive and well here on planet Earth, the apostate church, the place of the spirit of religion, having an appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. See, Satan's goal is to come across as if he is God. And he wants to present himself as the ultimate power. Even to the point of throughout history having two men ready at Beckon's call to step out as the beast and as the false prophet. I heard an interesting take the other day about, is the Antichrist alive and is the false prophet alive on the earth now? And this teacher said, absolutely. And he went on to clarify that. He says, since the ascension of Christ into heaven, Satan has always had his candidates ready, for he did not know when the end would begin. And so are these vessels in place? Yes, they are. And in fact, I wonder this. Again, this is speculation, but I wonder this. We've seen it. Men like Hitler, poised in the occult. He was a Satan occultist. He was a worshiper of Satan. Was he one of the candidates? He definitely manifested the behavior of that. Was Stalin one of those candidates? Or Mao, was he one of those candidates? Only God knows. But we know this. This is not fantasy. And the day is approaching quickly. And our hearts are already being influenced to accept that global religion which they will manifest. We see this having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. The power is the Holy Spirit. For when we are satisfied to worship God void of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within, we are walking in a powerless religion that is false. No matter how good our intentions are, no matter how well we can clean up our morals and have a good attitude, without the Holy Spirit, we are without power. And the Holy Spirit will draw the hearts of those that delight in His infilling within them. Do you have the Holy Spirit, as Chas said earlier, in you, the temple? Are you living the creation that God has destined you to be? Filled mightily, not with a religious spirit, but with the spirit of power, the Holy Spirit. Again, the religious spirit is the self-made righteousness. I got this. It's fine in the power that I want. Not in the power that wants me, but the power that I want. There's a big difference. The power that I want will have limitations on where I go. The power that God wants in me will take me to the places that He has destined for me. Encounter God to see what He wants. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Again, you say, Pastor, stop it. Word, 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 word. The precious Word of God coming daily in your heart and in your mind. Be excited about what God wants to tell you. Psalms and Proverbs. Daily, when you say routine, daily presence of them in our lives. Because something is captivating our hearts and minds. If it's the Word of God, the amazement of God's desires will rise up in us. Why? Because we'll know what He wants. And God has chosen to give clarity to our understanding when we visit Him in His Word. Satan says, I got you. I'm going to take this out your life. I'm going to put other things in front of you that are more important. But God says, you come to me with an open heart and spirit before my word, hold on, because I'm going to take you places. I'm going to take you to the journey of the fullness of my power within you. Make room in me, O God. Through the sacrifice of your blood that made this temple ready and available for the Holy Spirit to dwell, come in me in all power, O Lord. Raise up your church in these last days that will not be a false hope, but will be a living hope that will guide people out of these crazy, crazy times. The covering of Adam and Eve, the death, the blood, the covering, shown to us early, revealed to us in Jesus. and apply to his church even this day. Revelation 13:11, speaking of the false prophet, then I saw another beast. John, the revelation of Jesus Christ to John, he sees. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. You ever spoke like a dragon? Have you? No, geez, I ain't answering that. That's a trick question. I've spoke like a dragon because I've been under the influence of the liar. In fact, the influence of the liar messed with my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmama, way more greats than that, and her name was Eve. And the price of her decision and Adam not being the man he was supposed to be, the spiritual protector of the home, bought into a lie and placed within us the fallen nature that knows how to speak like the dragon, because the father of lies gave birth to the fallen nature that's in us. And we live our journey through this life deciding who will be our father. Will it be the father of lies, or will it be the father of life? And I say, Lord Jesus, the provision is there. There's no excuse. Forgiveness has come. My past is my past. My future is dependent not on my strength, but on your strength. Will I trip up on the journey? I'm going to trip up, but I have an advocate. I have someone that's praying for me, lifting me up and forgiving me and moving me forward. But I refuse to allow the nature of the father of lies to be continued in my life. By the hope, by the power, and by the grace of Jesus Christ. Going back to that question again, have you spoke like a dragon? We all have. And the choice will be, will we continue to speak like a dragon? For when that day arises and those, quote, messiahs are at hand, there will be many that call on Jesus as Lord, that will lay down his name for the name of another, because that's the ultimate goal. That religion will intensify. It will intensify through guilt. It will intensify through the mind of man and not the mind of God. And it will be self-justified, not God-justified, where many will follow. And those that will not follow will face one decision, life or death. But really, if we're honest about it, right now we face that same reality. Either we follow truth and live, or reject truth and die. That's the reality. Either we walk in the holiness of the provision of God, or we're satisfied with unholiness, which has the fruit of death and not the fruit of life. We see this again. Verse 9 of Revelation 13, if anyone has an ear. You got one? Your eye can be an ear as well, right? You can perceive with your eye. If anyone has an ear, the mind's eye, let him hear. Static. Noise. What is it? Tinnitus. Interference. Distraction. Like that old TV that would roll and you would have to do the vertical hold on it. The noise is all around us. But God is all about giving us clarity to perceive and to understand that day when that global religion will fully be manifested. The spirit of it is here now. The reality of it is soon to come. If we can bow in prayer this morning. If you're able to stand to your feet as we prepare to honor God through prayer and through praise unto him. You have an advocate. You have one that is more than willing to stand at guard of your heart. In fact, the intensity of this journey on earth is so intense, or so filled with challenges, that God saw fit to place His Holy Spirit not at a distance, but actually within us, making us a temple of the Holy Spirit that is daily filled by His presence. If that's in your heart today, say, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon me in liberty. Come in the fullness of not my desire, but the fullness of your desire. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Guard my heart. Move forward and guard my mind. Guard those thoughts that dwell within me, God. Thoughts that distance me from you, that slowly take me away from your path. Show me those thoughts so they will not be welcomed in that mind of Christ that you've given me. And I ask, and we call out to our helper, guard our soul. For the enemy comes to corrupt and to distance our soul of trust in God. And Lord Jesus, your weary hearts, we get weary, Lord. Oh, we get weary. We pray for the weak, which we all walk in weakness, God. Bring your strength to us. Though we are feeble, you are strong. Though we trip, you steady. Though we miss, you direct us to the mark. And we say, strength of God, rest in us in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And as we close this time of prayer, know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Confess your origins to Him, that fallen nature. Repent of the sin that we were born in and turn and trust in Jesus Christ. Invite the fullness of that resurrection power, the presence of the Holy Spirit to dwell in you every day. Daily pour it out, and turn and trust in Jesus, feed on His word and watch what will happen. And if you have not been baptized in water, you need to be baptized. And if you desire to be baptized, please let me know.